All right, everybody, welcome to Sales Pitch. And I buy and sell houses, I flip houses, and I know interest rates just went up. So the question is, should you buy a house now or wait until 2024? No. I'm going to get into that. Buy now or wait. That's your choice. But the question of the prospective homeowner, if you keep waiting for rates, we're going to continue to go up. And the people that have the lower rate now can is having a harder time borrowing money compared to you buying at a higher rate. And I'll explain that. Why it's better to buy at a higher rate now, and I know it's gonna hit you a little bit, with the higher cost to the house payment. But here's the thing. When the rates start to come down, then you are at the advantage for one reason, because you can then lower the rates, lower your payment with a lower rate, opposed to paying what you do now. That's exactly what happened back in 2008. Okay, they had this crisis, and we're going through a similar thing again with houses. But it's not as bad, I don't think. Now, what makes things bad isn't the rates. It's the bonds. And the bonds, where most people go when they have too many high yields and bad loans out there, that's where the hedge funds and the bigger banks and stuff usually go to and hide. They go to the bond market. Well, the bond market wasn't doing good either. So this is kind of like a double-edged sword here. When is a good year to buy a house? Well, right now, why rates are actually still low, because back in the 80s when my parents were around and I was growing up, they had rates at 15%. And the mortgages were not nowhere near they are today. They had like a $50,000 mortgage. So, back then, a house was twice the amount of your yearly income. So I think my dad made like $30,000 a year. And I know we built the house, I think, for $28,000. I remember building the house back then and getting a loan to build a house back then was a lot cheaper. And even buying the land and everything, I think it was like $32,000 altogether. And by the way, we lived on a lake. So now you're having to pay $400,000 for a loan. And wages really are not going up that much. So the Fed's hike interest rates, it's benchmark lending rate by a quarter point today. So now it's at an all-time high. That's what they say. So federal officials eliminating one more rate hike this year. They did. According to the latest projections, inflation steadily slowing down. In recent months, it has been encouraging for American consumers and businesses, but officials did say this in a post-meeting statement. Inflation remains elevated, and that the Fed remains highly attentive to these inflation risks. And suggesting that another rate hike remains on the table again after this one. So what are we at? 5.5. Data depends remains that the buzzword given to a confusing signal of warning inflation. Look, inflation or not, things are gaining steam. Things are getting really expensive real quick, regardless how it's slowing down. Now, stocks closed at a mixed note after Powell's speech, but the Dow notched its 13th straight day of gains, its longest day in a win streak since 1987. Well, I don't care what 1987 is. What we're in now, and the predictions that we have now are all now. Okay, so the price index inflation gauge did go up to 3.8%. So now, as the percent rate, every time these guys raise interest rates, that means they raise the borrowing power of the people that need the money the most to be able to live and buy groceries. So now one thing goes up, everything else goes up. But your paycheck goes down because inflation is not going down that good, they say, or that much. So the rate hike, in case of inflation, proves to be more resilient than expected, and the timing is not very good. But in the final hike, what they're saying is still a question mark. So it's not a matter if they are going to do it again. It's a matter of when they're going to do it. Okay. Pre-pandemic levels had shared prime age workers, those between age 25 and 54, is at highest level of risk since 2002. The labor market remains robust, but it is starting to slow down. I created my own job, okay? I flip houses for a living. And I'm telling you, and I tell people that are looking at houses, my house is now for sale. Inflation has cooled a little bit without a sharp uptick in the unemployment rate, but it remains to be seen whether this could continue. Research suggests that feds have no choice but to slow the economy further because of the tight labor market's persistence role in pushing up consumer prices. That is true. Look, it's shipping costs that's pushing all this up. China, not just shipping costs now, that's pushing up all these percent points for rates going up, because not just the house, it's not just one thing, guys, it's everything. Inflation is not caused by just demand. Inflation is caused by other things like a weak dollar worldwide. It's also caused by your labor and wages have not gone up so in 14 years. So inflation is the wages you get, your hourly wage is not keeping up with inflation. So that is causing a problem with people going grocery shopping. And the grocery prices are really nuts. Some people are actually having to choose to make a car note or pay for the groceries or pay for the rent. I mean, it's getting bad. And there's a lot of people like me that see this going on and go, I go shopping every month. I go shopping I pick up things during the week. And I see people putting groceries on their credit cards, and I say, that's dumb. Do not put groceries on your credit card. I've accidentally done it before. I'm not saying I've never done it. Like, I've left my debit card at home by accident. Say, oh, shoot. Well, I got to use my credit card. Well, I'll pay it off at the end of the week or end of the month. Now, paying that down, I'm putting food on credit, that's not living, America. We are at risk. The economy further become very tight in labor markets, pushing consumer prices up. But now the tightness in the labor market clearly has the Federal Reserve feeling unease, even another rate hike. So what? What should you do? Will my house be worth less in 2024? Let's answer that question. Absolutely not. It depends on where you live. Here it is. While it is possible for the median home prices to fall by 5% in 2024, the mortgage rates declined faster than predicted. Now, the mortgage rates will go up and down, even though the Feds raise them up again. Now, home prices could remain mostly flat to the end of 2024. Well, it depends on the market. If you want to buy a house and it's your first house, you get approved for the mortgage because you have a great career. I say, don't worry about the rates. Go get your house, okay? You're going to pay a little bit more now. But by the end of 2024, these rates are going to go down Then you can refinance for a lower rate and a lower payment, and even maybe even put more down on the house if you save a little bit of money. Okay. So the Housing Market Forecast 2025 predictions are not going to be accurate for the next 5 years because we don't know what the rates are actually going to be. Okay? We don't. So you can't say I don't want to buy a house and keep procrastinating because of a high rate. I think ultimately waiting for another year is bad because house prices go up. It doesn't matter what the market does. You know why? Because houses have a triple A bond. Okay, the housing market has a triple A bond. Those bonds ain't going nowhere. They're not going nowhere at all. Okay, the bond rates don't set the price either for a house. What sets the price of the house is the economy and how well it's doing based off of inflation. But now that we're in, we got a problem. We got a shortage in since the pandemic hit and COVID hit, and we couldn't go anywhere. Everybody was at home. And then it started lighting up when we had the vaccines come out, and then starting to lighten up. People started coming outside. Oh, I want a house. Well, then remote workers hit. So then people started moving around the country and selling their high cost homes at a lower interest rate. And that happened for 2 years straight. I did it twice. Now rates are higher. I'm buying houses at a discount because they need their fixer-uppers I buy, and they sell them. Doesn't matter what the rate is, okay? I'm not saying I'm not losing money, but I'm still making the same amount of money I was 2 years ago. I'm making good money, and that's a stable income. That's what the problem is. There's not a stable income. Until you have a stable income, nothing's safe. But I made $18,000 last year, and the year before I sold the house and made $48,000. Okay. And this year I'm projected to make $56,000 or close, somewhere in there. Just around $56,000 selling this house. And then I find another house and for a lower price, and I find a fixer upper that I want to buy for myself this year. Because I'm not going to have a mortgage, okay? That's the difference between investing in real estate and making money off of it and not having a mortgage. Anybody can do this, but it takes time to build up equity in your bank account to buy these houses for undervalued houses for cash, okay? So you don't have to have a mortgage. I started off that way. You can start off that way too. So you got to start somewhere. And if the rates are high, the rates are high. You got bad credit. I mean, if you got decent credit and you have no debt and you got pre-approved for your mortgage loan through a bank or a lender, whoever you go through, and you can get the house, I'd say go get the house. Go get it. Find one that doesn't need any work, though. And here's the house that you're going to buy. So I hope you guys have made it this far. Please keep following me on Spotify. I appreciate you all. I really do. You want to learn this market? Look, you got to learn from somebody that started at the bottom 10 years ago and worked my way up. I'm no Grant Cardone or no nothing like that. I'm just a regular Joe, just like me and you, that loves what I do. I love working on houses. I love making them look, you know, like spectacular for where they were, a fixer-upper. They're not the best-looking houses in the world, and that's what I would encourage you to buy, because you can live in these while you're working on them, your wife and family. You know, just do one room at a time. They might not be perfect, but a lot of these just need paintwork. And a lot of people, sometimes these houses don't have appliances in them. Like, they don't have a stove, a dishwasher. Sometimes They started working on them, took the sink out. The plumbing's fine. That's the houses I buy. I have everything looked at, electrical. I go down my list. As long as the foundation's good, it's got a good roof, but the rest of the stuff is particular. It needs a lot of TLC, a lot of love. I'd say buy them, okay? Because Look, electrical outlets are not hard to fix, by the way, and it doesn't cost much even an electrician to come in and swipe them out for new ones or do a test on them and make sure if they're good or not. If the plug's loose, go through them all, buy the house for a discount. That's what I do. If it's got a good roof, if the roof is under, like, say, 15 years old, I'd say it's good. Just, you know, the inspector will tell you if the roof is good. Now, my roofs, I redo my houses. If it's a bad roof, I'll replace it. And I pass that cost on to the consumer that buys it, okay? So if I buy an underdog house for, like, say, $30,000, and it's a $140,000 house, but I paid cash for it for $30,000, I'm going to put $30,000 into it. So that gives me a base price of $60,000, right? That's where I would be at $60,000. But the house is worth $140,000. So I now have, you know, $80,000 in equity in this house. I can either keep it or flip it. Most of the time, like this one, because I bought, I had adjacent properties that came with it, which upped the house to almost $180,000. I bought it for $94,000, and I put about $12,000 into it and fixing everything. That's what you guys should do. Find a fixer-upper you can live in while you're fixing it up. Do the basic fixes that you can. Like if someone took the sink out, put a sink in there. Okay. If you're not a plumber, plumber ain't gonna charge you $700 to put a sink in, most likely, or four. Okay. Put a kitchen sink and a bathroom sink and a toilet in it. If they ripped all that stuff out because they're remodeling it and couldn't finish it, which is happening a lot right now, that's your opportunity to go in there and say, you know what? These guys never finished this house. All the plumbing's here. All of it was fixed. All we need to do is, yeah, that's all you need to do. Put a sink in, put a toilet in, same with the kitchen, same with the bathroom. Now, yeah, you're going to pay about $2,000 for it, to put that stuff in, but you can go to thrift stores, go to Habitat for Humanity. They got stores around the country you can go to and buy good used equipment. It doesn't have to be a new sink, doesn't have to be a new toilet. People get rid of that stuff all the time. Just look into free ads of Facebook Marketplace. They're in there. They're probably right down the road. Someone's got a free toilet to put in or a free sink that they're getting rid of, or one cheap enough. Even now, I find them on the side of the road for someone else remodeling a house. So I'll take their sink that's nicer than the one I got, or this house didn't have one, and it was a nice sink, stainless steel, and I put it in there. Didn't cost me anything. Only thing I had to do is hook up the plumbing, and I was done. Okay, it wasn't hard to do. It's not hard to put a drain in, as long as you're handy. Now, a plumber, to hook up a sink and a drain, it's going to cost you a couple $100, like maybe four. But then again, when you're buying a $30,000 fixer-upper and you fix it all up, by the time, you know, you don't need no mortgage. I mean, you could get a mortgage on it to fix it up. A lot of people do that. They buy an underdog house, fixer-upper, and the market value of that house is, say, $140,000, and they pay $35,000 for it. Well, they'll get the loan they need to fix it up and then live in it, and then, you know, 10 years later, they sell it and they sell a nice house. That's what I do. But I don't always stay in these houses. Particularly, it takes me 3 to 9 months to do these houses. The last two were 9 months. This one is 3, okay? Depends on what I need to do to the house. This is your opportunity, guys. Don't let these rates scare you, because the rates are going to come down and you're going to get a better rate on that house anyway, or a better mortgage when it comes down. The people right now are stuck with higher rates and they have no opportunity they're stuck. If they don't have any cash to fix their stuff, then they cannot get a loan, a higher rate loan when they're already paying a low rate. They got to go with a higher rate. They can do it, but it's not very smart to get an equity loan at a higher rate. It's just not. Okay, so a lot of people are choosing not to sell their houses. Because why? Because they can't. Because they started redoing these houses and they're stuck with them. I know, because I just bought one and finished it. I bought it. It was called a handyman special. They started working on it, tearing the siding off. They tore sinks out. They didn't finish the plumbing. It was a 1936 bungalow. Ceilings from the roof leak was bad. So, all right, guys, that's what you need to do. So have a great day. Follow me if sales pitch here. My name's Keith. I'm your host if you want to learn this game. Thank you so much.